Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, girl.
Hey.
Jillian Pezzavalle.
What's up, Patrick Hines?
What are we talking about today?
We're talking about Children of the Corn. I mean, Jesus Camp. Sorry. I just get them so confused.
Did you say Jesus Camp?
Did I?
That would be.
Jesus Camp. Jesus Camp. I don't know what.
Jesus.
Oh, Jesus Christ Camp. It's so hot that my mouth is just like, I'm giving up. My body is giving out on
me. The beauty of podcasting is that we can't have an air conditioner while we're doing it.
Yeah, I was going to say, or that I can just show up looking like absolute sweaty garbage, and you're the only one who has to suffer through it.
Hi, girl.
Hey. How are you?
You know, the truth of everything is that I gave up on humans so long ago that like that Jesus Camp doesn't even bother me anymore. I'm just like, oh yeah, I forgot. Humanity is the worst.
It fills me with rage.
This is a sick old world.
Kids, you gotta change things.
Boys and girls can change the world. Absolutely.
I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag.
There are two kinds of people in the world. People who love Jesus and people who don't.
Where should we be putting our focus? I'll tell you where our enemies are putting it. They're putting it on the kids.
How long have you been a Christian?
At 5, I got saved.
Yeah?
Because I just wanted more of life.
You go into Palestine and they're taking their kids to camps like we take our kids to Bible camps, and they're putting hand grenades in their hands.
There's an excitement, yet there's a peace with it all, too. It's really cool.
I really feel that we're a key generation to Jesus coming back.
And we are a generation that needs to rise up and run with that baton.
Yeah! How many of you want to be those who would give up their lives for Jesus?
We're being trained to be God's army.
There's a new church like this every 2 days in America.
25% of the American population, that's about 80 million people.
If the evangelicals vote, they determine the election.
They've taken over the White House, Congress, the judiciary for a generation.
This is just the tip of the iceberg.
Are you a part of it or not?
I just want to stress, I think this is true crime because when there's child abuse and cults involved.
How is this not a cult? That's my other thing.
That's like, in my notes. Explain it to me.
You guys are Branch Davidians. Like, how is this not a cult?
It's a cult. It's child abuse.
Yeah.
They're being held kind of against their will because their parents are like, go to this camp in the middle of Missouri. Like, this is true crime.
Yeah. So the movie opens at like, the movie opens with like, listen, I've seen a lot of musicals in my day, and this number's intense. Jerry Mitchell choreography, it is not.
Now is the time.
Speak the word of the Lord.
It's like they're camo. They're in these camo face paints.
Yeah, they're like 10.
They're chanting. They look so angry and so mean.
It cuts to the parents and they're like, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then we see someone and we're like, you know, she's going to be a major player in this. Stage momming from the side, mouthing the
full
angry words.
On, like dance mom, lesbian haircut.
Uh-huh. Mr. Becky Fisher.
I have no idea how many people are here today. I'm told the auditorium will hold about 500. So we're doing pretty good, aren't we?
Let me say something.
Hello, sir.
Hello, sir. Sit yourself down.
Take several seats.
Here's the thing. I normally am not the type of person who would fat shame or out somebody who's closeted and struggling with their sexuality. Yeah. However,
that is a running theme in this movie, by the way.
Like you said earlier, what'd you say?
Every single human being that runs these crazy Christian camps is a homosexual.
Absolutely. Normally, I don't attack people on those things because that would make me a monster. However, when you're a monster and you're right. screaming at children and shaming them and making them feel guilty and screaming at them about abortion,
oh my
you
God.
Are just fair game.
I know. So what this is a prayer conference for like the Utes, as they say in My Cousin Vinny.
I was going to say, thanks, Joe Pesh. I love My Cousin Vinny.
The Utes.
I wore this ridiculous thing for you.
All right. So what's happening at this prayer conference?
What's not have ever things? Yeah, the kids are screaming and chanting. Here's something that they're doing: speaking in tongues.
All right, now I want everyone to raise your hands, and we're gonna pray in tongues. Hallelujah! Let's do it. Oh, we love you, Jesus.
So
kohora shada kahala
busida. So I have said on this podcast, I'm on the record as saying nothing in the world scares the shit out of me more than the speaking in tongues. Also, try to do it right now.
Here's the thing. That's what I was going to say. I didn't know because she's like, okay, everyone, and now let's speak in tongues. I didn't know that was something you could just do.
I thought
you become possessed or whatever.
Right, exactly.
And it happens to you. Right. I didn't know she was like, and tongue speaking in 3, 2, 5, 6, 7, 8. Like, I didn't know.
You don't know this, but directly beneath this apartment that that we're recording in, there's a woman who every Sunday has like a chanting circle where they're like oming and then speaking in tongues. It scares the shit out of me every time.
That's where the ghost is coming from. For Daisy, why have you, this is episode what, 10, 11, and we're just now getting to the chanting and speaking in tongues that's yeah. happening directly below you?
Yeah, I know.
Mystery solved.
So, okay, this prayer conference is like the precursor. It's kind of just set up to introduce us to Becky.
And the evangelical faith.
Right.
So Becky Fisher is a monstrous nightmare.
Yeah.
Who admits to the camera immediately, she says, kids are so usable in Christianity. She admits that she's using children because they're like sponges.
Yeah. Yep.
I can go into a playground of kids that don't know anything about Christianity, lead them to the Lord in a matter of just no time at all. And just moments later, they can be seeing visions and hearing the voice of God because they're so open.
They are so usable in Christianity.
And then she compares them to Muslims in Palestine. She just goes on this rant where I'm like, this is 5 minutes in, you guys.
They're going into the schools. You go into Palestine and I can take you to some websites that will absolutely shake you to your foundations and show you photographs of where they're taking their kids to camps like we take our kids to Bible camps, and they're putting hand grenades in their hands. They're teaching them how to put on bomb belts. They're teaching them how to use rifles. They're teaching them how to use machine guns. It's no wonder with that kind of intense training and discipling that those young people are ready to kill themselves for the cause of Islam.
I mean, it's kind of important to remember that this movie was made in 2006, and it wasn't that long after 9/11. It was still, like, you know, crazy Bush era, Muslim hating, just all the values that this country was founded on. Okay, so after the conference, we get to go to Becky's house. It's very exciting. It's complete with her, like, TV dinners and, like, TV trays, and I'm sure there's 40 cats that are locked in a bedroom.
Sure.
And we get, like, a direct-to-the-camera interview. She's literally watching the videos that was taken at the conference of the kids.
Convulsing, crying. Like, I am so disturbed by that footage.
Yeah.
Like, I wish there could be a split screen of my reaction to it and hers, because mine is just like holding my face and like contorting and hiding under the covers and crying.
And she literally at one point like leans in.
She's like, oh, this is the best
I know,
shit ever.
I know. During, like, you know, when we have this interview, she's saying all these crazy things.
She says that she loves George W. Bush because he gives credibility to this whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
I would say there's a friendlier environment now in the United States towards Christianity than there has been in my lifetime. And a lot of it has to do, just in the last few years, has to do with President Bush. He has really brought some real credibility to the Christian faith. He's been very open, blatantly open about his faith in God.
You can hate the guy. Many people do. Whatever.
Oh, there's like a fondness for him in this country right now. There's like a nostalgia for Bush.
Remember the good old days? But you know that dummy was still just like, I'm sorry, what? Do not roll me in with this crazy shit. Even he was like, girl, Come on, man.
This is when we learn that she has a camp that she like runs in August. We know this because she like creepily at her prayer conference, mm-hmm. like tracks these two boys down in the hallway.
Right. And she's so fake.
Yeah.
And she's like, are you coming to camp? That's so totally cool, man.
No, he's coming to our camp this summer. Are you guys coming too?
North Dakota?
Yes. You are coming? Yeah. Totally cool. Is your whole family coming? Or just you guys?
I think just us.
Awesome.
So I have to say this. One of the kids that she tracks down is this kid Levi.
Oh, that rat tail, right?
The rat tail for days. But there's something about that kid. Am I wrong?
No.
And all through the movie, he's the one that everybody picks out and points to. He's special. He's a special, special kid.
The thing about these kids, too, is that they're so much older seeming.
Yeah.
Than most 10-year-olds.
Right. And she says to him, like, how long have you been a Christian?
How long have you been a Christian?
I've been a Christian. I was at 5, I got saved.
Yeah?
Because I just wanted more of life.
Yeah?
It was just nothing that I thought was fun.
You thought at 5 years old there was nothing fun?
Yeah.
Really? Already?
5 years old.
He couldn't find any meaning to life at 5 years old. You guys, please let that sink in. I beg of you. What does that mean?
I know.
5!
I know. Okay, Jillian, what happens next?
Now we're home with Levi.
So Levi's the rat tail kid who's like clearly super special.
Right. And he is watching this video it's called Creation Adventure. And there's this like fucked up looking prehistoric creature / alien who's acting like a news anchor, basically saying that science is wrong. It doesn't exist.
Right.
Creationism is the only way to go. And then we realize, oh, of course he's homeschooled.
Of course.
Was it an explosion? Did we come from a glob of goo? Ugh. I don't think so.
So then we have, his mom holds up this book where it's like, creation is the way, science is stupid. And they're laughing.
I know.
About science. And something really scary happens that really sets the tone for this whole thing. She tells him that, one, you know, global warming is a myth. Granted, this is 2006. Like, right. Things have changed. Still, it wasn't a myth then. It's not a myth now. Sorry.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
But she asks him this question and she's like, what if you went to a school and they were like, you're stupid because you believe in creationism? She's already starting this us versus them.
Yeah.
Everyone thinks you're dumb. Like, she's already creating, no pun intended, this world for him in which he is right and it's only him and everybody else is wrong and out to get him.
One popular thing to do in American politics is to note that the summers in the United States over the past few years have been very warm. As a result, global warming must be real. What's wrong with this reasoning?
It's only gone up 0.6 degrees.
Yeah, it's not really a big problem, is it?
So now we take a deep dive into some of the kids that are getting ready to go to camp.
We need to talk about Rachel, who I feel is watching me somehow. She's here. I feel like she's here. I don't see her, but I know she sees me. So we meet Rachel, who is like, they're all bowling, right? All these kids are bowling. And I'm like, oh, like, finally, a fun activity for children.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the only one, by the way. It's the only time they have any fun at all.
Well, also, we see the exterior of the bowling alley, and there's like a huge sign that says like, Adult Emporium.
Yes.
I was like, what has happened? What?
Yeah, and then I was like, oh, right, it's a bowling alley. At first, I was like, what's happening? Did they find Becky in the lesbian section? Did they get her? No, they're at the bowling alley. So Rachel is just like chanting into the bowling ball and trying to get God to get her a strike. She gets a gutter ball.
She's also reading a Jesus like comic book.
I have seen those on the subway. Have you ever actually seen what those are like?
What do they say?
They are horrifying. It's blood of Jesus. Everything is the worst. It's a sick world. Abortion, 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 abortion. Everyone is terrible but you. And there are these creepy, it's so like old 70s, like weird anime, like cartoony drawings. And they are just horrifying. Then we just see her and she's like, I'm like, what is she doing? She like gets her sights on someone.
Yeah.
She walks up to this girl who's like wearing like, you could see a little bit of her stomach. She's like
she is literally what I think I'm going to see when I look in the mirror. Like skinny, perfect boobs, like stringy, perfect blonde hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Rachel's like, hi.
Rachel cannot compose herself, girl. Girl, get it together,
so
girl.
I was talking to God and,
Hi. God's just telling me that
you're on his mind, and he just wants to take you, and he just wants to love on you, and he has special plans for you in your life, and he just wants you to be able to follow him with your whole heart.
And you just see this, and this girl is like, I'm just trying to like meet somebody at the bowling alley.
And like eat my nachos.
And eat like, yeah, okay, child of the corn. Like, thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And she's being so nice. Like
the me is being so
you're
nice.
You're being so nice.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. And so Rachel's like, hey, so I was just talking to God, and he just like, he's really like scared for you. And he basically telling this girl that she's
don't
like,
stop. Give us the full Rachel.
So I was talking to God, and he's saying, he's like really scared for you. And I'm just praying for you. And he told me, like to pray for you. So I'm praying for you. And I hope that like your life gets better and you make better decisions. Basically telling this person that she's a whore and she's like,
because she's pretty.
Again, everyone's a little too pretty. Let's attack them because they're a little too pretty living their lives.
I am discriminated against daily for being
this gorgeous.
I know.
You're so beautiful.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank
you. I mean that inside and out. So the girl's like, thanks. Like, I feel like that's how I would do. We're like, I'm just going to take this because she's going to kill me.
The thing is, I don't know. What would I say to a 9-year-old girl that came up to me at a bowling alley and was like, I'm praying for you? I would be like, where is her mother?
Well, she goes up to her father, I don't know who this guy is.
Gay uncle?
Gay uncle.
They're all gay. They're all gay. Every one of them.
And he's like, way to be obedient, Rachel.
Wow. So you saw her and you just felt like God told you to go over there.
Yeah. I waited a little bit, you know, to be sure. You know what I mean?
Kept coming to your heart.
Uh-huh. And afterwards, I felt like I had picked the right one.
All right. Good job, Rachel. Way to be obedient.
I'm like, this, and the thing is, Rachel does not have a fighting chance. This is happening to Rachel. She really, this is what has happened to her. Like, I'm not making fun of a 9-year-old girl, but it's a horrible, then you really, like, we're laughing about it, but then you really think and you're like, oh my God,
she
has been brainwashed by these crazy people who can't handle that they're gay.
Oh my God, why? They're all gay. You guys, we're going to get to it. Like, we're not kidding.
Yeah.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The new year means new health goals, not just for your body, but for your finances too. But did you know financial health is directly related to identity protection? You need LifeLock because your personal info is in endless places that are outside of your control. It only takes one mistake, and not even your mistake, to expose you to identity theft and lost funds. LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points per second and alerts you to threats you could miss on your own. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock's U.S.-based restoration specialists will fix it, backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. In fact, restoration is guaranteed or your subscription money back. Don't face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or other financial losses from identity theft alone. Resolve to make identity, health, and wealth part of your New Year's goals with LifeLock. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's 40% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Jillian.
Yeah.
What does Rachel want to be when she grows up?
She wants to do nails. Do you want to know why?
Yes, please.
Because then when people sit down and they're getting their nails done, she can talk to them about Jesus and they can't leave because they're getting their nails done.
She's like all pumped and she goes, you know, relaxing Christian music in the background. You're doing it.
I always thought it would be kind of fun to be one of those like people who paint nails and stuff because you would get a chance to tell them about the Lord. I mean, just relaxing Christian music in the background, you know, doing it, you know what I mean? It would just be really relaxing and they would just be able to kind of, they wouldn't have many walls at that second, you know, and they would just be able to accept.
So the next person we meet is Tori, which is after my own heart because you know how I feel about Tori Spelling.
And she's a dancer.
My favorite kind of music is like Christian heavy metal rock and roll. It focuses and the basis is towards Jesus. And some of the songs don't actually say like Jesus or our Lord or and stuff like that. But they do have a Christian basis and it is focused towards him.
But you know who she hates?
Who?
Lindsay Lohan and Britney Spears.
Right. Because they dance it for the flesh. Here, let me talk about Tori real quick. Tori. That's what she says.
I know.
This poor 10-year-old girl loves her super hardcore Christian rock. And she hates Britney Spears and Lindsay Lohan. But she's a dancer. And she says this heartbreaking thing where she's like, I have to remember that when I'm dancing for God. And if I'm dancing for me in the flesh because it feels good, people can notice that. And I make that mistake.
When I dance, I really have to make sure that that's God. Because people will notice when I'm just dancing for the flesh. And I do that sometimes, and I must admit that then I really need to get over that. So
I know,
and I'm like, live your truth, girl.
I know.
Dance
for
you.
When you hear a 10-year-old say, I often make the mistake of dancing for the flesh. That is such crazy talk.
It's so like, can't these kids just be kids?
I know.
Like, they're at this Jesus camp, and all they're doing is crying.
I know.
And screaming. And it's like, they get back to school, and it's like, what'd you do this summer? I went to a water park. I screamed and cried and was told that I'm full of shame and guilt and abortion's wrong. That's what I did. What'd you do this summer? Also, one last thing about Tori and her family. Yeah. They pledge allegiance to the Christian flag.
And?
The Bible.
I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will hide its word in my heart that I might not sin against God.
And that was when I was like, no, this really is a cult though. Like, this is like, even David Koresh is like, oh damn, we never did that
shit. Oh shit, dude.
Yeah.
Like, and then they have, like, there's something about, this is going to make me sound like a monster. There's something about children's voices in unison.
I know.
That is so creepy to me. So when they're like, I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag, I'm like, oh my God! They're all here. They're all in my closet and under my bed, and I'm terrified. What is that about children's voices in unison? It's so creepy, especially when they're like, a cult.
I know. It really is terrifying.
Oh, I have another thing about Tori.
Tell me everything.
Okay, so this is another thing that makes me so sad. It's raining.
Oh my
10
God.
10-year-olds love the rain, right?
Who
like,
doesn't?
And it's the summer, it's so much fun. Yeah. So she's standing out the rain, and her mother's like, Tori! Victoria! Victoria Jesus, whatever your last name is, get back in here.
Victoria Mary of Nazareth, Christianstein, get in here.
Jesus Fish, get in here.
Victoria, turn around and go back inside now. Thanks.
Okay. I have to get hit 10 times by drops of rain because I'm 10 years old.
You're very funny.
And Tori's like, Mom, I'm 10 years old. It's the rain. I want to be out in the rain.
Right.
But she says, I'm 10 years old, so I want 10 drops on me.
I don't know why. I guess I'm laughing.
And the mother's like, very funny. And I'm like, I hope Tori has dealt with her OCD in a healthy way because the poor thing's mother is screaming at her. Patrick just ran into, bumped his head into the microphone.
My face into the microphone because I'm laughing so hard that I'm crying and I can't see anything.
Oh my God. But the poor thing is OCD. Or like some sort of,
I know.
Like for a little 10-year-old to be like, I'm 10 years old, 10 drops on me. Or like she's just being like a silly little kid. I don't know. But the mother's like, get back inside.
And I'm like, Lord, you've given me this daughter. And how am I supposed to train her? What am I supposed to do now? Right.
You guys, we just are getting to the camp, by the way. Let's go to, do you think Sir Becky Fisher gets or sees the irony of naming her camp Kids on Fire?
Wait, where is it located?
Oh, in Devil's Lake, North Dakota. Does she understand it? Was it planned? I don't know. I'm exhausted.
I know. Can we talk about before the kids actually get to the camp and they're like walking around blessing the PowerPoint?
Now I just pray over this equipment. We speak over the PowerPoint presentations, all of the video projectors, and we'll say, Devil, we know what you love to do in meetings like this. And we say, you will not, in Jesus' name.
We know as podcasters, look, tech issues are the work of some kind of demonic presence. I've been on the losing end of a tech issue more than once. I understand that fear of like, if this doesn't work, it's all over.
I know.
Never once have I begged anyone that I know or any of my equipment to be covered in Jesus' blood. just different perspectives, I guess.
Different ways of preparing, I guess.
But I do understand that fear.
Yeah.
I don't begrudge her that. It's like the only thing we agree on, that anxiety of technology failing you.
Yeah, I get it.
Then she's like, let's all speak in tongues, and 5, 6, 7, 8. And I'm like, again with the planned tongue speaking.
But then they also know how to do it. Well, I would not. It seems to me like such a skill.
In the name of Jesus, we speak that.
So, in preparation for the big opening ceremony, what's happening?
She is hairspraying her hair.
She's like in a room, like in a dressing room,
like
getting ready.
A comically long time. The hairspray is just.
She's like, it's definitely Patrick in high school. Like, you know, like pulling the pieces to one side and pulling it to another, hoping that it just does not move out of place.
I really can't get over how long the hairspray sound is going. It's just on and on. And then she just puts it down. She goes, oh, this is exhausting.
I get exhausted doing this.
And I'm like, does she know the cameras are on her?
No.
Because of course it's exhausting, because you're screaming at children how guilty they should feel that they're not doing enough for the world
hiding
in abortion.
The Melissa Etheridge albums just left and right.
You know that that's like,
yeah.
She doesn't have an iPod because these people just live in like the late 70s. Like that's just where they just stopped evolving. But you know she has like CDs.
Yeah. Indigo Girls, yeah. Melissa Etheridge, Ani DeFranco.
Yeah, maybe a little Tori. Yeah, because but that's her guiltiest pleasure, because Tori has a lot of issues with the church. So you know that she's right. Listening to Crucify, just like, how am I going to explain this to God? Speaking of music.
Yeah.
So we're at this, like, the opening, I guess, like, the opening ceremony of this Jesus camp, right? And it's like a gym workout, it feels like. It's like they're getting ready to warm up.
They are. And, like, so it's a rap song.
We're kicking it for Christ. Yeah, homie. Okay, so then Becky comes out, and now this is when we saw a little bit of the crazy screaming anger in the beginning, but now this is her show.
Yeah.
But before she goes into it, she does arguably like the second creepy thing. Like the whole movie is the creepiest thing about the movie.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The second creepiest thing is she comes out and like asks the kids, like, how's my hair look?
How do you guys like the hair?
And I'm like, that's weird. And then she's like, how about my nails?
Fingernails.
And I'm like, that's super weird. Then she's like,
and the rest of me.
How about the rest of me? And I'm like, what are you doing?
Well, first of all, Rachel's like, well, I could do some work on those now.
This is the... Why don't you sit down?
Oh. You know who she's got a real big problem with?
Oh, yeah. 10-year-old Harry Potter. 10-year-old Harry Potter should be put to death.
And while I'm on the subject, let me say something about Harry Potter. Warlocks are enemies of God. And I don't care what kind of hero they are. They're an enemy of God. And had it been in the Old Testament, Harry Potter would have been put to death.
And then, like, with her back to the camera, just she can't. She's got to get it out.
You don't make heroes out of warlocks.
But, okay, here's example number one of why we need science.
Yes.
A proof of why. So she has this little lion cub, right?
Oh,
and she's like, yeah, lion cub. And this is like sin. She's already screaming sin, the devil, sin. You're being tempted by sin right at this moment. Blah, blah, blah. So she has this little lion cub. And then to show like the growth of everything, she's like, and then you have a tiger by the tail. And she's spinning a what? A lion stuffed animal. This is why we need science and biology, because tigers and lions are different. And you can see it. It's not just like any kind of jungle cat. It's like a lion with a gigantic mane. It's like, there's like not a stripe to be seen. It's a lion. Reason we need science, number one. There are many more to come.
The first thing that made me want to jump through the screen and actually do bodily harm to these grown-ups is like what happens right after this, where she starts screaming about how God has told her.
I sense in my heart tonight what I heard the Lord say is that there's some kids here that say they're Christians, that go to church all the time, but you're one thing when you're at church and you're another thing when you're at school with your friends.
Not, and what does she call them?
Hypocrites. Yeah. Fakers.
Yeah, phonies.
You're a phony and a hypocrite.
I was crying during this part. This is so mean.
And then it cuts to the kids and they're like, oh, damn.
And like, they're like, that's right.
Yeah.
Especially little Andrew. Andrew, who is struggling.
Is he the blonde kid?
Yeah.
Oh, Andrew.
Andrew says like the realest thing, where it's like faith is hard because you can't see it and you just have to believe. And I'm like, yes, that's totally normal. normal, especially when you're 10.
Yeah. So then she asked the kids, like, who here of you is a liar and a phony? Come up here and get washed.
And it's time to clean up your act. Come up here and get washed.
With the blood of Jesus? Do you have the blood of Jesus? Probably.
No. You know she does have? A little 8-ounce bottle of Nestle water. And that's what she's using to wash their hands.
Well, she blessed it. You know that. Come on.
Because we can't have phonies in the army of God. If that's you, put your hands up here. Whoa, baby.
But then it cuts to the kids, where the kids each have a turn, like, with the microphone. And that's when Andrew is like...
Just to believe in God is really hard because you don't see him. You don't really know him much.
Sometimes I don't even believe what the Bible says. It makes me a faker. It makes me feel guilty and bad.
And then it cuts to, like, and then it shows them, like, trying to be kids, like, telling ghost stories. And some fucking goober comes in and is like, no fun here.
The dark, dark house was a dark, dark hallway. The dark, dark hallway, there was a dark, dark room. In the dark, dark room, there was a dark, dark staircase.
Coach.
Everybody in their bed?
I'm not.
All right.
I'm not going to do it.
They're 9 and 10 and 11-year-old boys. They're just trying to have fun. They're at camp, reminder. Again, what'd you do at camp? I fucking cried.
I know.
I'm not that wild about ghost stories, okay? Some of them are a lot of fun, but they don't maybe honor God. And God says to focus on those things that bear truth and those things that have beauty. Focus on the good things and the things of God, okay?
Here we go. Lights out, guys.
All right. Remember the PowerPoints that she's praying over?
Yes.
And she, a lot of Jesus' blood thing? Yes. Guess what? So we're in Becky's whatever, like, antiquated computer. It's like 20 feet wide by 20 feet wide.
It's like right from the Freedman's basement.
Totally. And she's like, it's the words, punishment for sin is death. It's in, like, plain, boring black font. That won't do for Mr. Becky. Mr. Becky, so he was like, I think there's, like, a red blood font.
Yeah.
I got some dripping with blood here somewhere.
So now it's, like, dripping red blood font. The word is punishment for sin is death. And he's like, that's better. That'll do. That'll really give these kids nightmares and ruin their lives and brainwash them.
Yeah, that looks better. That's better.
And then we meet this either New Zealand or Australia, whoever he is, he's gay.
This woman in her, like, Hawaiian green shirt. We actually first see her in the cafeteria where she's, like, taking a video.
Look at the new hairstyle. Oh, she's the number one cover lady for children's ministry worldwide. Praise God.
And Becky, again, trying to be so cool. She's like, I feel like I'm in the cover of Rolling Stones.
She says it with the S.
With an S.
It's almost like being on the cover of Rolling Stones.
It was my pet peeve as a bartender where people would be like, I'll take a Stolies and soda.
My mom used to Barnes and Nobles.
Blockbusters and Barnes and Nobles. And that was when I was like, well, I don't know if I can have a relationship with my own mother anymore.
She and Becky have a lot in common.
Well, more than Becky is prepared to acknowledge.
Exactly. Now we're back to scary Rachel, though.
Rachel is sitting, like, in a mosquito hut, like it's Panama, like, coloring with the crayon, like, really not needing this crayon to survive to see another day.
No.
And then she is, what does she have to say about dead churches?
First of all, dead churches. This is another really sad, heartbreaking moment. So much hate and judgment from such a little kid.
Yeah.
Basically, there are some churches that God just hates because they're not like her.
God is not in every church. There's such a thing as a certain church. They're called dead churches. And the people there, they sit there like this. We worship you, God. We worship you, God. They sing like 3 songs, then they listen to a sermon.
Like, she's like, some people just, like, sit there and pray quietly in their own way. What monsters? They're not crying. They're not chanting. They're not screaming about abortion. There is no talk of Jesus' blood being poured on you. They're just sitting quietly praying in a way that works for them. And God has no time for their shit.
Can we do Jesus Camp every week?
Yes!
Churches that God likes to go to are churches where they're jumping up and down, shouting his name, and just praising him. They're not acting. They're not quiet. We worship you. They're, hallelujah, God! You know? And depending on how they invite him, he'll be there or not.
So it's just like, right, like again with this us versus them, they're right, they're wrong. It's like these kids do not have a fighting chance.
I know.
Who's going to lead them?
Who?
Levi. He's preaching tonight at camp, y'all.
Oh, my God. Well, so this is where we hearken back to. If I were, like, a talent agent, I'd be like, get me a meeting with this kid.
Right.
This kid's got a spark, you know?
He doesn't write his own shit, though. God does it for him. He doesn't even write his own material.
I don't write the sermon. God writes the sermon. I mean, I can feel it sometimes while I'm writing. I can feel it in my arm. Someone's holding my arm and while I'm writing, right?
I will say, too, that, like, anybody who's ever rehearsed anything can acknowledge that there's nothing more humiliating in the world than somebody, like, watching you work out a bit, which is exactly what he's doing.
I really feel that we're a key generation. I really do. I really feel that this generation is a key generation to Jesus coming back. That is exactly what I want to say.
He's like rehearsing the casual ums and uhs. Yeah. But then it just keeps getting scarier and scarier, because then this is the part of the trailer where she's like, are you a part of it or not?
Oh my God.
We're at war. And I'm like, oh my God.
This means war. This means war. Are you a part of it or not?
Now I have in my notes, enter Creep with the red life shirt.
I'm very excited tonight. I usually talk to big people, but tonight I get to talk maybe to the most important generation in American history. Whoa.
This guy is the worst. Becky introduces him by being like, we got a lot of surprises in store for you kids tonight. And it's all about fetuses at different stages of gestation.
And he goes, you're not just a piece of protoplasm. Whatever that is.
Here's the deal. Before you were born, God knew you. Extraordinary. He said this. He said he formed you in your mother's womb. You're not just a piece of protoplasm. Whatever that is.
I know, you want me to tell you? This is why we need science. It's the living part of the cell. It's why you are here as a human person. It's like what makes you be a human in the flesh. I know the flesh is bad, Tori. I know. But protoplasm is the living part of the cell. It's an important thing. It's called science. Please don't laugh at it. It's a real thing.
And
you
then,
guys.
Speaking of science, he's like, basically what this is it's an assembly about going out and being pro-life and anti-abortion, anti-anybody who is pro-choice.
Choice.
And they're passing around like a little plastic doll of what a fetus looks like.
They all have plastic babies.
I know.
And they're like holding them up to the sky and crying and clenching them.
But then he puts a piece of red tape with the word life over their mouths. What the hell is happening?
It's so, it makes me crazy and so like, I don't know what the term is. I just want to like protect all these kids.
Yeah.
Do not use kids for your political agenda.
I know.
And I think they use Mike Papantonio in that his radio show as a very good juxtaposition in this documentary to show a Christian person who's like, no, this is not Christian. This is not what you should be doing. You can't mold your kids this way. And I think the movie does a great job of saying, like, again, not all Christians are like this. Not all religious people are like this. Just these crazy people.
Right, exactly.
How do we ignore that all of a sudden we're creating children soldiers for the Republican Party? How does that figure into anything that Christ had to say about how we should live our life on the earth?
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Okay, so after
This makes me giddy.
Oh my
this
God,
makes
guys,
me
this
giddy.
Is so crazy. After it's over, the documentary like follows Levi basically mm-hmm. like on his journey to like the mega churches in Colorado. So they go to the New Life Church mm-hmm. in Colorado Springs, which is led by or was at the time led by
Ted Haggard.
At which point I was like, "Hey, girl!
Hey, girl! Hey!
Look at this girl!"
If you guys don't know about Ted Haggard, so he's super creepy in this documentary. He's yeah. looking into the camera. He's like, "I know what you did,"
but
and
again,
I'm
like
"What?"
The reason that he got to the level that he did is because he's so charismatic, so charismatic.
I just eye rolled hard.
I know.
Well, yeah. I mean, some people think he's charismatic. I think he's a dirtbag.
Yeah.
But it's very hateful and very like the Bible says homosexuality is wrong.
We've decided the Bible is the word of God. We don't have to have a general assembly about what we believe. It's written in the Bible, all right? So we don't have to debate about what we should think about homosexual activity. It's written in the Bible.
Then he has one of these, like, charming takes to the actual documentary camera where he, like, grabs the camera. He's like,
I think I know what you did last night. If you send me $1,000, I won't tell your wife.
And so they all laugh. They're like, oh, our pastor's so charming.
And then he's like, if you use this, I'll sue you.
Yeah.
If you use any of this, I'll sue you.
Which is a little bit of foreshadowing because...
Ted Haggard, you crazy bottom drug addict.
Here's what he did.
Yeah.
He turns me into Nick Piece of Garbage. It thrills me because he's spewing all this hate and he gets caught with like a male sex worker and Crystal Meth. Doesn't get any juicier.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. But, you know...
And, like, sexts, the whole nine, you guys. Everything that a guy who preaches hate speech about homosexuals does not want to happen to him.
Exactly.
Just cross it off the list. It all happened.
3 year, and the sex worker is like, it wasn't a relationship. I was paid for everything. But, yeah, we did it for 3 years when I gave him all kinds of drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crystal meth.
I know. Oh, and by the way, I was watching interviews with Ted Haggard today. He took a 2 year media blackout. He didn't talk to anybody for 2 years. Now he is still with his wife. Heterosexual, he said.
Oh, he's been cured. He went to one of those crazy, another cult camp, whatever.
And like, he's like, he says that he does apologize to the gay community, but he's not gay. And being gay is a sin for him. And the interviewer's like, but it's a sin or it's not, Ted. And he's like, no, it's a sin for me. It's a sin for me. And, but he talks about like loving his like sexual relationship with his wife, which is just so
you
gross.
Know you
and
don't.
That poor woman.
That poor woman.
Poor woman. Get out of there.
Get out of there.
Although if you marry that man and you support all the crazy nonsense and painful everything, then you deserve what you get.
But it's like, how are you surprised where he was like, if the evangelicals vote, they determine the election. It's fabulous.
Wait, so the documentary was made before it was found out all the stuff about Ted Haggard, but he says fabulous twice. And both times I'm like, oh girl.
He doesn't
pick that purse up and put it back in your mouth, girl.
Well, that's fabulous.
He doesn't just say fabulous.
I know.
He says fabulous. He's real, like the glitter is like spewing out of his mouth.
It's a fabulous life.
He wants to like snap too. You know he's suppressing some shoulder moves and some hip jutting. You know.
Yep.
Every fiber of his being is like, you're gay, you're gay, 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 gay. And he's like, no. He's like, again, Book of Mormon. He's like, turn it off.
Exactly.
Shut up, me.
Exactly. Okay, so then the next thing is that that crazy pro-lifer with the red shirt. Creep in the red shirt. Exactly. Somehow, his parents let them go on a field trip to Washington with this guy.
Nope.
And they're like at the steps of the Capitol. What are they doing?
They're protesting abortion and like chanting and being crazy
singing
people.
Singing about the blood of Jesus.
What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
But then he like takes the red tape and puts it over their mouths again.
It's so
children should be seen and not heard.
How is this not abuse and a cult? I don't understand. But you know they have all the right paperwork and their parents gave them permission and they're like, we get to manipulate children and there's nothing you can do, libbies.
Exactly.
Weird libs, whatever they call snowflakes or whatever the hell.
Yeah.
And at one point, Becky is like doing another post game.
Uh-huh.
Like leaning in her like, what is that fabric that she has that big sectional, but you know, it's like that soft fabric. Yeah. It's like brown. It's so like 1988. But she's like, I know those liberals are shaking in their boots. They're wondering, what are these kids going to grow up to be? And I'm like, we are wondering that.
You want to see intense. You want to see kids passionate about Christ. This is it. You know, and I have to believe with all my heart that this is just the tip of the iceberg. I believe those kids made an impact in heaven. God hears the cries of children. Whew. Makes me want to cry.
the last shot of the movie, and I just thought this was so brilliant. She's driving through the car wash, and it comes to the end, and it's four stop signs.
Yes.
It's like her and four stop signs.
Yes.
Genius filmmaking.
Yes, yes.
I just got
me too.
I just got the shivers.
It's 98 degrees, and I'm like getting the chills, but it's not over.
This is bonkers.
So then it's the credits, and you think it's over. So it's Rachel and Levi, and they're going around. People are having like a nice, lovely picnic. And yeah. She goes up to this family, and Rachel's like,
This is in the credits.
It's like a couple credits, and then it like comes back, yeah. Right? And she's like, where do you think you're going when you die?
If you were to die right now, where do you think you would go?
And they're like,
heaven.
She's like,
really? Are you sure?
And they're like, yes, child of the corn. I'm totally sure. And she's like, okay. Well, and she's like very like oddly threatening them that they're not going to heaven. And they're like, we're having a picnic. We're being nice to you.
Right.
Like, we're giving you the time of day. And then she walks away and she's like, I think they were Muslims.
I think they were Muslim.
Rachel, too young for this shit.
I know.
Rachel is going to grow up to be a nightmare.
I know.
And it's through no fault of her own.
What do we know about the kids now? There's an article, I didn't get to read it, about where they all were like 10 years later.
Andrew?
Yeah.
Got the hell out of Dodge.
He did?
He's got long hair. He's all about like psychotropic drugs. Do you, Andrew? Yes. Live your life. Levi, still going strong.
Yeah.
He's got a girlfriend. Did get a haircut. Thank God.
Thank God.
Tori, they're all still in it. Ugh. Andrew is the only one who's like, who thinks that Mr. Becky Fisher is a monster.
Yeah.
Thinks that what this whole camp is not okay. He's not fully in the it was abuse camp, no pun intended. And he's one of those people who's like, if I didn't go through that, I wouldn't have, you know, come to the realizations that I have and the beliefs that I have.
Yeah.
So he's like the most mature one and the most like sane, I think, out of all of them, or the most aware of what happened, trying to find the good in it.
I'm assuming that Becky became a roadie for the Sheryl Crow Indigo Girls World Tour.
Yes, and in addition to that, she's still doing all this shit.
So she's still doing this.
She's like posting memes on Twitter. Hi, Becky. She's posting memes on Twitter where it's like a sobbing child, and then the meme is just like, we're doing it.
You guys, if you are loving our episodes, will you do us a favor? Will you share your favorite episode on your social media? Or will you write a review and rate us on iTunes? I've been reading them, like, I'm obsessed with our reviews on iTunes.
They're so great.
Amazing. And I love it. Like, it warms my heart every time you guys write one.
Yeah.
Find us on Twitter at True Crime Obsess, no ED. And everything else you can find at truecrimeobsessed.com. You can email us your suggestions and just, like, say hi.
Yeah. You guys are so great on Twitter. It's the best time.
I know. We're having so much fun.
Yeah.
We are taking next week off. So catch up on all of our episodes. If you haven't heard our episode about the woman who wasn't there, it's a recent fave.
Yep.
And we'll be back the week afterwards. What are we doing?
Who took Johnny?
Oh, it's on Netflix, you guys. It's amazing. And here's the preview.
Please contact us if you have our son. We'll work with your demands because we want him back.
There was no crime scene. He just vanished.
My husband and I feel we must do what we humanly can as his parents.
There was a lot of fear. They didn't catch the perpetrator. Something like this is going to happen again.
But every time we found a clue, we ran into a brick wall.
And at that moment, when our eyes met, I knew I was going to hear exactly what happened to my son that day.
You have no idea what it's like to look for your missing child. It is hell on earth.
Sunday, September 5th, approximately 6 a.m. 12-year-old John Gosch had been delivering papers in this affluent neighborhood of West Des Moines. That was the last time he was seen.
The parents believe the boy is alive and has been kidnapped.
Johnny, we love you. We're waiting for you to come home. We're doing everything in our power to get you back. Take care, babe.
Thousands of people have been searching for the boy, but nothing positive has turned up.
I have said this many times. If Johnny had not had a mother, he would have had no one, absolutely no one looking for him. I guess I'm just more appalled than shocked. anymore. I believe that my son deserved 110% of my energy to try to find out what happened to him. The police say they have no crime. I have no son.
Year brings new health goals and wealth goals. Protecting your identity is an important step. Your info is in endless places that could expose you to identity theft, leading to lost funds. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock's restoration specialists will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Resolve to make identity, health, and wealth part of your New Year's goals with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
This is Julian Edelman from Dudes on Dudes with Gronk and Jules. Sunday mornings, I've got my game day ritual. Coffee, lucky socks, and now new morning Uncrustable sandwiches.
It's all about that 12-gram protein boost with the new Uncrustables Bright-Eyed Berry or Up and Apple flavors.
Bright-Eyed Berry's got a feisty receiver energy.
Up and Apple? Your classic do-it-all tight end.
Soft, pillowy, packed with protein, and easy enough for Gronk to grab from the freezer.
Whether you're on the couch, driving to the tailgate, or heading to the locker room, new morning Uncrustable sandwiches are the MVP of snacks.
Your new Sunday kickoff ritual starts here with new morning Uncrustable sandwiches packed with 12 grams of protein.